The U.S. has escalated its anti-Iran rhetoric since May 2018, when President Donald Trump withdrew from the U.N.-backed 2015 nuclear agreements. Iran's President Hassan Rouhani on Sunday warned that war with Iran would be the mother of all wars. Trump reacted by threatening Iran with consequences, the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. Now, in this edition of the debate, we will look at where all of this fiery exchange will lead to and look at how the U.S. threats can actually translate into action. After all, the U.S. has never truly won any wars, most notably in Iran's neighbor Syria.
The United States under President Trump will not stay silent either.
The United States kickstarts an aggressive campaign against the Islamic Republic with the apparent aim of fomenting unrest in the country. Washington's weapon of choice, heavy economic sanctions. The latest round of verbal attacks against Iran came on Sunday when Secretary of State Mike Pompeo explained the U.S. approach.
We have an obligation to put maximum pressure on the regime's ability to generate and move money, and we will do so. At the center of this campaign is the reimposition of sanctions on Iran's banking and energy sectors. As we've explained over the last few weeks, our focus is to work with countries importing Iranian crude oil to get imports as close to zero as possible by November 4th.
The former spy chief turned top diplomat called on other countries to join the U.S. efforts against Iran.
We are asking every nation who is sick and tired of the Islamic Republic's destructive behavior, to join our pressure campaign. This especially goes for our allies in the Middle East and Europe.
Iran's foreign ministry shot back by condemning Pompeo's remarks as cheap and unfounded. This hasn't been the only verbal fight between Tehran and Washington. On Sunday, President Hassan Rouhani warned the U.S. against any attempt to prevent Iran's oil exports.
They say they will not allow Iran to export a drop of oil. Do you consider Iran to be weak to such an extent? You certainly won't be able to do that. We will stand against it. The entire Iranian nation will do so. To U.S. President Trump, do not play with the lion's tail or else you will regret it. It will bring you eternal regret.
Trump quickly responded by threatening Iran.
To Iranian President Rouhani, never ever threaten the United States again or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious.
Some experts believe the U.S. may be seeking to start a war with Iran.
Washington is looking for war, trying to find an excuse and trying to weave a narrative around war, trying to provoke Iran. And Iran responded, but did not respond, I think, in the manner that America expected.
Tehran also accuses Washington of trying to topple the Islamic Republic and partition Iran. The Trump administration denies this. Observers and experts are still trying to figure out what is in Trump's mind regarding Iran. But the participation of American lawmakers and Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, in meetings of the notorious anti-Iran terrorist group MKO reveals the agenda that Washington seeks to implement against Iran. Tehran, however, says the agenda will make Iranians even more united to defend their country.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, columnist at The Hill, Brent Podolsky, joins us from Washington, D.C. Brent Podolsky, welcome. Let me first start by getting a reaction from you regarding what has occurred. Obviously, a fierce exchange of words between the U.S. and Iranian presidents. But Iran's president, Hassan Rouhani, his statement, quote, "America must understand well that peace with Iran is the mother of all peace, and war with Iran is the mother of all wars."
Well, I vote for the mother of all peace. You know, that here's the bottom line. Point one, why did Trump do this? He did it because he is under intense pressure for the way he handled, or in many opinions, mishandled, the NATO meetings, where he criticized our Democratic allies, his meetings in Britain, where he criticized the British prime minister, and above all, his meetings with Vladimir Putin, where he was seen as giving up everything and being overly friendly to Putin after he had attacked our Democratic allies all over Europe. So point one is, why is he doing this? He's doing this to try to change the subject and to look tough, which he did not do at NATO and he did not do with Putin. Point number two, keep in mind that President Trump used almost identical language about Kim Jong-un. Fire and fury unlike the world has ever seen. And A few months after that, he was holding hands with Kim Jong-un. So I don't expect him to be holding hands with President Rouhani anytime soon. But Trump does have a habit of saying exaggerated things and then changing his policy shortly after. And Lord knows, we have enough differences with our European allies and others in the Middle East right now that the worst possible thing is to try to provoke something, which I don't think will happen. I don't think we're going to have a war between the United States and Iran. I think this is talk. But hopefully he'll calm down. Hopefully Iran will talk to the American allies who want to stay in the nuclear agreement, which I do, and use that as a point of influence to try to prevent the United States or Trump or factions in his administration from doing things that we will all regret. Those are the key points right now.
Okay, well, let me bring in Richard Becker from the Answer Coalition, who joins us from San Francisco. Richard Becker, you have the U.S. President Donald Trump, who came out with a reaction based on what Iran's President Hassan Rouhani has said, saying that never, ever threaten the U.S. again or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. Now, why is it that the U.S. President understood Iranian President Hassan Rouhani's statement as a threat? Because fact-checking, what the Iranian president has said, the beginning of his statement was, America must understand well that peace with Iran is the mother of all peace.
Well, I think we have to look at this not from the point of view of kind of boilerplate punditry, but the bigger picture here. And the bigger picture includes these elements. Iran is surrounded by U.S. military power, immense military power. In Afghanistan, in Iraq, the Gulf states, and right off its shore there are Trident submarines that are rotated in and out of there, each of which can independently target 200 centers of human civilization with nuclear weapons. So you have that as one factor. Secondly, you have yesterday Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, giving a speech at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California, and making all kinds of claims about Iran, that its leadership has a $95 billion slush fund, and that, but most importantly, reaching out, saying to the people of Iran, you should have a different government, and we will support you in getting a different government. And a third part of this is that the economic sanctions have been tightened and are going to be tightened further, with the intention of suffering, of inflicting as much suffering as possible on Iran, and the people of Iran. And then you have the threats from, and there were no threats from Rouhani. It was really a statement that if the U.S. attacked, it would be a big war, if the U.S. attacked. Trump turned around and made very grave threats to do to Iran what has rarely been done in all of human history to any country. I think what we can see here are the elements of a regime change strategy. That's what's really going on, is that these different elements fit together in that kind of strategy, and that is what the U.S. aim is. The U.S. government's aim is to bring about regime change in Iran, and I think that that's the way to understand this very dire threat made by Trump. Whether or not he intends to carry it out or his administration intends to carry out, it's an incredible threat.
And that is the point that I'd like to make with you, Brent Podolsky, is that the U.S. Doesn't really come out this openly advocating what they call regime change. And in the case of Iran, in the past it was covert, and they didn't want to really openly come out and say it. But here they're saying it out loud. Looking at the headlines, first of all, it's a U.S. campaign to try to undermine Iran's leader. That has hit the headlines. Explicit statements like the Trump administration has launched an offensive of speeches and online communications meant to foment unrest. This type of open hostility towards wanting to overthrow the Iranian government. Why do you think the U.S. approach is now as such?
Well, I'm not sure that what Trump is doing rises to the level of an approach or a strategy. I think he's just lashing out, which is what he tends to do, and I'll emphasize. He made the same kind of threats to Kim Jong-un using almost identical language. The fact is, it was a few months after that they were holding hands and negotiating. So he does things, to put it charitably, different than most normal presidents and heads of state do. And I'm not sure that this is a strategy, although some people in the administration probably would like to see regime change. They don't have the capacity to do it. And there's a difference between talk and words. What we have to have now are, number one, our allies in Europe have to hold firm in their policy of not seeking a war and of trying to keep the nuclear agreement in effect and of trying to fix those problems that Europe and the United States do have with Iran. There are things Iran can do to make things better. There are things Iran is doing that makes things worse. I'm not going to question that. But bellicose threats of war that are not supported by our allies or anyone in the democratic world is not a policy. It's not a strategy, and it's not going to work. So hopefully the president will change his attention span to something else soon, and hopefully we'll find a way to negotiate the issues that both countries have and other countries in the region have that are legitimate issues from all of them. But these kinds of threats have happened before. They'll happen again. People should not overreact. And I'd like to see an effort between Iran and Europe and the democratic countries to have a better diplomacy, not sanctions and not economic warfare. So they may want regime change. I'm not going to deny that probably at 2 in the morning when they're alone thinking about it, some of them want it. They don't have the capacity to do that. They don't have the military capacity to start a war without allies and without a plan. They do have the capacity to back off and seek a diplomacy where countries learn how to live together, and that includes the United States and Iran. And most of our European allies do not agree with what Trump said in the last 24 hours, and they do not agree with his policy on the nuclear arms agreement, which they want to find a way to keep, and that's where I stand.
Well, some of the opposition, Richard Becker, that has come, has been in that meeting that Michael Pompeo had that you referred to, and it was in a speech titled Supporting Iranian Voices, in which he said that the leadership in Tehran, quoting him, resembles the mafia more than the government. Now, what's interesting about this is that some of the Iranians that were there, they actually opposed Trump's policies. And they said that, you know, how could Trump be sincere when, he's expressing support for sanctions, barring Iranians from entering the United States? He doesn't have the full support of the Iranians, he, in this case, Michael Pompeo, the support of Iranians, some of them, in that particular get-together that they had. Do you think that the U.S. approach is correct in the way they're going about it if their goal is wanting the government in Iran to change?
Well, I think that what they're hoping for is the intensification of pressure will bring about a split in the leadership. That's what would be necessary for a regime change. That's short of a massive military occupation, which I don't think is in the cards. I mean, that would take really not hundreds of thousands, but probably a couple million troops to enforce, or maybe at least a million. But I think by intensifying the pressure, economically, causing great suffering among the population, causing inflation, which is a very serious problem in Iran, to increase, to accelerate even more, to raise this threat of lethal military action, really deadly military action for Iran as a country. And also, we have to take into account that not only the reimposition of sanctions, but using the threats against the European countries and other countries that want to continue to trade with Iran, that if they do, they'll be subject to enormous fines by the U.S. Treasury Department. Their banks will be fined. So it's not just a matter of the sanctions being imposed by the United States. These are multilateral sanctions. And in that way, they're really violations of the sovereignty of the other countries, including the European allies of the United States. Why is it that the United States can fine other countries and banks billions of dollars because they trade with a country that the United States is seeking regime change in? And I don't think there's any question that they're seeking regime change. Whether Trump has it all thought out, I don't think really matters. It's clear that in the administration, there is intense hostility toward Iran. It comes from Mattis, the Secretary of so-called Defense. It comes from Pompeo. It comes from Bolton. And it comes from Trump himself and Pence. So the leaders there, whether they have Trump in on all the thinking, that isn't really the issue. There's clearly a regime change desire, and I think clearly a regime change strategy.
Well, some of the things that have happened, Brent Podolsky, in terms of trying to choke Iran's economy, is somewhat backfiring. For example, Trump going after Iran's oil sales, saying to the Iranian allies and countries that buy oil from Iran not to buy any more oil, to drive it down to zero by November. We can see what that has done to the oil market. So in that respect, of course, that affects the U.S. economy also. We're looking at one of the things that has backfired. And, you know, this region, if it was to go into any type of instability further than what it is now, U.S.'s allies would also suffer. Does Trump care about the consequences of its approach, which is filled with hostility towards Iran?
Well, I'm not sure he understands the dangers, and I'm not sure he cares if he does. The trade war that he is now waging, literally with countries around the world, is going to hurt American workers. It's already starting to hurt American workers. It's going to hurt the American economy. It's going to hurt, in this case, oil prices over time. I'm not sure whether he has a sophisticated understanding. I think it does matter, by the way, whether he knew what he was saying and meant it versus whether he didn't. There are very different opinions within the Trump administration. It is not accurate or right to compare Defense Secretary James Mattis with National Security Advisor John Bolton. Bolton has a long and, in my view, dark history of wanting to fight these wars. Mattis does not. Mattis has been strong on some issues that Iran has done that he, in my opinion, correctly doesn't agree with, but Mattis also wanted to keep the sanctions lifted, keep the nuclear agreement in effect, and he was not listened to on that issue, as a lot of people around Trump are not being listened to on a number of different issues. So I think what we have to do now is just stay calm and stay cool. Remember that Trump used the same language against Kim Jong-un, almost word for word for word, and then they were holding hands and negotiating. So things can change in this business quickly.
Okay, Richard Becker, last question to you in under a minute. You know, the U.S. has sought to pretty much advocate a change of government ever since the Islamic Republic came back in 1979 when the Islamic Revolution happened. And, of course, they're trying to do that now, as you have said. Do you think their Iran has said their efforts are going to fail again. Do you think their efforts are going to fail in under a minute?
I think that they will. I think it's important to remember that the United States did effect regime change 60 years ago, 65 years ago in Iran, ushering a long, long dictatorship of the Shah, a brutal police state dictatorship, which greatly benefited the U.S. oil companies and banks and greatly damaged the people of Iran. That can't be forgotten. That's not so long ago. I think that there's a great opposition in Iran to having such a thing happen again. But I think that the strategy of the U.S. leaders to cause immense suffering inside the country, they're hoping will bring about regime change again. I don't think it will succeed, but I think they're going to do it.
Very well. We're going to leave with a thank you from the Answer Coalition, Richard Becker, and columnist of The Hill, Brent Podolsky. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitale and the entire team of the Capitol, Tehran, is goodbye.